Hello, everyone. Welcome to the North Church Podcast. We are so excited you're here. At North Church, our vision is to love God, love people, and follow Jesus. We'll be here every week with a new encouraging message to help you grow in faith and your relationship with God. Now, here's Pastor Rodney Fouts with this week's message.
So glad that all of you are joining us at all locations, whether it be Deer Creek or whether it be Guthrie, Oklahoma City, or Freedom House. And to turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Genesis, chapter number 40. We're going to look at two chapters in God's Word today, chapter number 40 and also chapter number 41, or at least a portion of 41. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture today. Somebody told me years ago, read a lot of scripture in your messages because it will be the best thing you say. And that is very true. Very true. So get out your notes, get out your North Church pens, which have been provided by the faithful financial supporters of North Church, and let's get into God's Word, and let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray that your ears are open, that you will hear the shout of God, or maybe sometimes it's the whisper or the slight nudging of the Holy Spirit in regards to this message today. Would you do it? We're continuing the series called Dreamer. It's the life of Joseph. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And God, we pray that our ears are going to all be open to receive the truth of your word. And God, that we will not just look in the mirror of your word and walk away and do nothing with it, but we will see what needs to happen in our life, allow the Holy Spirit full range to do that, and walk away changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. And everybody said a big amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 40, let's start with verse number 1. Notice what it says. It says, sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended the royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials. And he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in the prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. Stop there for just a moment. Let me bring you up to speed in regards to where we are in this story. The story is centered around a man named Joseph, obviously. And Joseph was a young man that was the youngest of 12 siblings, sons. And so these sons, 12 of them, were born of a man named Jacob. Early on, Joseph became the favored child because of a few reasons. One, because he was born to Jacob's favorite wife, which is off to the wrong start already. And then also because he was born of his old age. In response to that, he begins to give him special favors, special gifts. One of those was a coat of many colors. And that made the jealousy between the other brothers to go up a whole nother notch. Then on top of that, he has this dream from God. This dream is that someday his brothers and his parents are going to bow down to him. And what that meant is that he was going to be in a position of power and leadership over them. And which in that culture in that day, specifically for the youngest, that would never happen. It would not be the case. So all that does is drive the wedge between him and his siblings that much deeper, which creates that much more hatred, to the point that they devise a plan to get rid of him. When they see him coming one day, they were in the fields taking care of their livestock. They see him coming. They devise a plan to kill him. One of the brothers talks some sense to them, say, hey, let's don't kill him. Let's actually throw him in a pit. Let's actually devise a plan to go back to dad and say that, hey, he's been killed by wild animals, and then we'll sell him off into some traders, and then we can make some money out of him. So they do that. They throw him in a pit. They sell him to some traders. He's taken to Egypt. There in Egypt, he's sold to Potiphar. Potiphar is captain of the guard, chief in command of all the armed forces of the nation of Egypt. And he starts at the bottom rung of the ladder and immediately goes to the top of the ladder. He is now the personal assistant to this guy. He is over all of his crops. He is over all of his household. He is over hundreds, if not thousands, possibly, of servants. In that time frame, it had to have been the case. And so he goes to the top of the ladder, and then while he's doing that, Potiphar's wife is after him sexually, and he would not take the bait. And eventually, she claims that he raped him out of her own anger toward him, claims that he tried to rape her, And then when the word gets out, he is thrown into prison, and now he's in prison where we are today with now Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. Okay? Let's continue on, verse number 5. Verse 5 says, while they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. Why do you look so worried? He asked them. Stop there for just a moment. This is key because for me, what I get out of this is that God has not placed you where you are to mope about where you would rather be. He has placed you where you are to notice other people who are struggling and hurting, and how can you bless and protect them? Joseph got that. Sometimes we don't get that. Okay, look at verse number 8. And they replied, we both had dreams last night. No one can tell us what they mean. Interpreting dreams is God's business, Joseph replied. Go ahead and tell me your what? Dreams. Which is interesting. He points out the fact that that's not my responsibility. Why are you bringing this to me? Which over the past year, I've had two significant surgeries, and I've had people come to me, and they're saying, oh, my shoulder or my knee, and they're asking me questions. And my response is like, I'm not a doctor. But you know what I can do? I've got an orthopedic surgeon who did great things for me, and I will point you to him. You see, in life, there's going to be people who are going to come to you for solutions and answers in life. And God has made you a light in darkness. God has placed you where you are to notice other people and their struggles and their issues. But you are not the solution. You are not the answer. Our role is to point them to the great physician, Jesus Christ, who is the answer giver. That's it. So with that, the cupbearer says, hey, let me tell you my dream. He tells him the dream. The dream of the cupbearer is simply this. There's three vines in his dream. And then these vines begin to produce grapes. And as they produce grapes, it says that he is now brought before Pharaoh and in this dream. And he takes those grapes and in his hand, he squeezes the grapes, produces juice that goes into the Pharaoh's cup. And the Pharaoh drinks of the cup. He says, what does that mean? And Joseph explains to him that the three vines are 3 days. And that in 3 days you will be brought before Pharaoh again and you will be reinstated in the position that you once had as the cupbearer to Pharaoh. Then, as he's leaving, Joseph says these words. Notice in verse 14. It says, and please remember me. And do me a favor when things go well for you. In other words, I did you a favor. Could you please scratch my back? I scratch yours, mention to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this what? Look at verse number 15. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in this prison. But I did nothing to deserve it. He's doing like all of us would do. He's pleading his cause. He's presenting his case, which God wants you to present your cause and your case to him. Matter of fact, God is okay for you developing a plan saying, hey, I really don't want to be in the situation I'm at, but I'm going to now begin to plan to get out of here some way or by some means. But there's something about Joseph that goes a little deeper because while he was actually doing what any of us should do is to say, here's my cause, here's my situation, I want out of it, okay? I believe he is also very, this is a key word, content. Contentment is absolutely crucial in life because you're going to have situations that are not favorable, that you don't like. And what contentment means is contentment is simply the thought process where I am not where I want to be, but I'm going to make the most of where I presently am. You see, contented people dream of a preferred future, but at the same time are faithful and fruitful in their present dilemma. Did you get that? We dream of something that they want to, I don't want to be here. I'm looking forward to a different marriage, to a different job, to a different situation. But they're not moping around, complaining and bellyaching all the time. At the same time, they're not where they want to be, but they are going to be faithful and fruitful in their present dilemma. Joseph was not where he wanted to be, but he made the most of where he was. And that is so key in life. Joseph learned that contentment really only comes from God. So then the chief cupbearer wants to have his dream interpreted. And so Joseph says, okay, tell me your dream. And the chief baker says, I had a dream that I had three baskets on top of my head, stacked on top of my head. And on the top were pastries in the basket. And then in my dream, these birds came and began to eat the pastries off the top of my head. What does that mean? And Joseph explains to him, he says, in 3 days, you also are going to be released and you're going to stand before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the known world at that time. But in those 3 days, when you're brought before him, you are going to be impaled upon a stick and you're going to be hanged out to die. And the birds of the air are going to come eat your flesh away. And I'm sure at that time, the chief baker is saying, I wish I had not have asked. Could you imagine those 3 days were pretty bad. You talk about the dream, those dreams turned to nightmares. And so, but the thing I take away from Joseph here is simply this. Joseph was not out to win friends as much as he was out to obey God. He was willing to speak the truth in love. Yes, he was going to comfort where appropriate, but he was also going to confront where needed. And if anybody wants to be able to rise up in leadership and to be able to assume more responsibility in life, you've got to be able to deal with difficult conversations and relationships in a godly way. And Joseph could do that. Look at verse number 23. This is key. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, this is the guy who was released, who's now instilled in place, his position he once had, forgot all about Joseph, never given him another thought. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? He helped him out, and what did he get in return? He done something for him, and he forgot about him completely. How many of you have ever forgot something? Go on, how many of you men have ever forgot something your wife asked you to bring home after work that day? Stop by and get some eggs. Stop by and get some, and you get home like, oh boy, oh boy. The fury that you meet at the door is not a good situation. I've forgot some things in life, not only milk and some of those things from Shannon, but also I've forgotten other things. I remember one time that we were going on a trip, and when we go on a trip as a family and vacation and stuff, our goal is to get there as soon as possible. We do not make stops unless absolutely necessary. And so the goal is when we go on a trip, like example, we were on this trip going to Breckenridge, Colorado to go skiing. We only make stops when the gas tank gets down to E. So we have the food, we have the water, we have everything you need, and you gotta hold it until we get there. If you don't know what it is, you can talk to your neighbor. If they don't know, then y'all can just kind of gather with other people and figure out what it is. And so we would drive until we stop. And then when we stop, here's the plan when we stop. We're going to make the fastest possible stop. And so when I put it in park, everybody knows they've been pre-warned. When we're about a few miles out, they put on their shoes, they get on their jackets if they need be. They gather all of the trash in the car because the trash that was in the car is going to go into the dumpster or into the trash cans. They're going to go in to use the restroom and get back in the car pronto. And so the idea, though, is I'm getting out and I'm putting the gas into the truck. I am filling it up, and as I get it locked in, I'm going in the restroom and back out too. And the goal is by the time that clicks, we're going to all be in the vehicle ready to go. No exaggeration. Ask my family if that's not true. We would make NASCAR proud. And so we've done this many, many times. We're going through Denver. We stop at Denver. We're making that final gas up. We are gassing up. I run in, use the restroom. I come back. I don't know what distracted me, but something distracted me. And I did not take the gas hose out of the vehicle. And everybody loaded up. Ready, boom. Everybody ready, boom. We're off. Put it in drive. I take off. I heard something. And for the next 50 feet to 100 feet, I'm dragging something down the road with me. Now, what I did learn from this, which is good to know, is that they have safety measures for people like me. And so I wasn't dragging the entire what do you call it? Yeah, all I was dragging was the hose because there's a safety thing with so much pressure, it clipped off from the tank and I actually was dragging it down the road, still attached to my vehicle. It was cool, folks. Quite embarrassing when you're driving back up to the gas station with that attached to your truck and you're trying to figure out how to reattach it. And then you walk in to try to explain to them just what happened. Let me give you another one. I can give you a whole list, folks. One time, this is right after Gavin was born. It's been a few weeks. It's the first time that Shannon actually is away from the house for extended few hours. And I have sole responsibility for my firstborn son. Scary, I know. I have him and I needed to go somewhere. And so I loaded him up into his car seat, buckled him in, get him out to the car, set him in the back seat of the two-door Cutlass Oldsmobile Supreme. I backed out of the driveway. I take off and I turn onto the main road and give the gas and I'm given, and as the torque, the gravity, the G-forces, I heard something rolling in the back seat. And it was, I look back and it's, I said, oh no, I tried to reach. I'm like, I got cars coming and he's rolling to the other side. I just immediately stop and I've got to get off the road quickly. The best way is to make a left-hand turn now. I made a right-hand turn, now I make a left-hand turn. And as I make a left-hand turn, he begins to roll back the other way. The good thing is I had buckled him into his car seat, but I failed to buckle the car seat into the car. Have you ever been forgotten? Has anyone ever hurt you? Has anyone ever said things that have brought pain in your life? Has anybody ever walked out on you, given up on you? You know what it's like, don't you? To feel what Joseph felt. The title of my message today is simply this: Forgotten, but not forgetting. And I want you, when you are forgotten, when you're struggling, to not forget some things in life. First off is this: remember your dream. Because it's going to be remembering of that dream that's going to hold you when it seems like everything else has fallen apart. It's remembering that dream that's going to get you through the darkest, the most difficult times of life. It's holding on to what God has placed. I'm not talking about your dream. I'm talking about a God dream. I'm not talking about something that you just desire and you want out of life. I'm talking about something God's placed in you. A preferred future of something that could and should be if you just simply obey God and trust Him. Something that God can bring out of the ashes, a miracle. That God can restore out of nothing. And I have found that dreams can be just like my wife's stew. This past week, she made me some stew. And I love this vegetable stew, and it was so good. And actually, it gets better every time I eat it. She made a huge pot for us to eat. I ate five meals, and every time it was better. And I believe that a God dream that's inside of you can get sweeter as the days go by. Don't forget it. I look back over time, some years ago, whenever I left my position where I was working as an executive in an executive type position, and then I would go to start a church from nothing. I have no money, no source of income, nobody. We hadn't even had our first service yet. I remember waking up at 4 a.m. with a dream that God has placed in my heart. God gave something so deep inside of me. At 11 o'clock that morning, somebody calls me who I did not even know who they were. They looked me up, tracked me down, found me, and then called the home. Shannon gave them my number. They call me at 11 a.m. and they tell me about the dream that they had at 4 a.m. in the morning. And it was the exact same thing that I had been given at the exact same time in the morning. And that's not coincidence, folks. God gave that. I wish it would happen every single day of my life. But you know what? It's not happening that way. It's happened one time in my life. But I keep going back to that dream and hanging on to that dream, believing that even in the most difficult and dark times, God is going to make it happen. Next is resilience in disappointments. Forgotten, but not forgetting. Resilience in disappointments. You see, dreams are not without disappointments. But Joseph avoided the victim mentality. He didn't go there. Don't go there. Don't allow yourself to be the woe is me, pity me, Look what's been done to me. Look what they did to me. Look what they said to me. Look how I was done wrong. Don't go there. Do not let yourself be enraptured by those thoughts, because it will be the stopper of dreams in your life. The book of Proverbs says these words. It says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he will rise again. Though a righteous woman falls seven times, she will rise again. Just keep rising up. Joseph did this again and again and again. He was thrown to the bottom, but he would keep rising up. If you're here last week, you saw what I did with the bounce ball. It's like no matter how hard, matter of fact, the harder the situation, the higher you're gonna bounce. And when you have difficult things come your way, just remember that I may be down to the bottom or headed down the bottom, but at some point I'm gonna rise back up, because cream rises to the top. And when God has his hand on you and a dream on your life, and you can stay faithful to that and don't take the victim mentality, you will bounce back at some time. Next is this: restraint in your desires. Forgotten, but not forgetting that I must be restraint in my desires. Restraint. Let me give you a few areas. Restrained with your feelings. Restrained with your thoughts. Restrained with your words. Restrained with your actions. You see, your feelings, man, they are so fickle, aren't they? They are so fleeting. They are so fading. They are going to slip through you. That you cannot trust them. That's why, as followers of Jesus Christ, we do not walk by our feelings. We walk by what? By faith. By faith. By faith is substance that you cannot see. It's something you can't lay hold of. You don't really know how, but you lay hold of that. You got to hold on to that. Feelings are something that's going to lead you down the wrong path and cause you to just give up and throw in the towel. You can't. Your thoughts? No, you got to make sure that you do not allow them to go in a direction that's against the faith that God has placed in. You got to make sure that they line up to the Word of God. You got to take those thoughts captive that should not be straying out there and allowing it to begin to play in your mind. You got to lay hold of those thoughts, make them obedient to Jesus Christ, and say, I'm going to make sure my thoughts align to God's word and his plans for my life. Your words are life and death. Your words are hope or despair. How are you using your words? What I have found out also when it comes to these three things is that if I can just begin to speak the right things, then my thoughts and my feelings begin to line up. Now, it may sound opposite. I got to get my feelings, I got to get my thoughts, and then my words will line up. No. Sometimes by faith, I begin to speak the right things, and I begin to lay hold of the right promises and speak the right verses and speak the things God wants. And then over time, my thoughts begin to line up to my words, and then my feelings begin to line up with my thoughts. Does that make sense? We got it backwards sometimes. Begin to speak those things. And the last one is your actions. Because you see, if you let your thoughts, your feelings, and you let your words go array, then eventually you're going to start. I've talked to people that, man, at one time they would have never dreamed doing some of the things that they are doing today. But over time, bottom line is, they did not guard their feelings, their thoughts, and their words. And over time, their actions begin to follow those feelings, thoughts, and words. You see, Joseph was restrained. Unrestrained desires leads to decisions you will eventually regret. Did you get that? Choose to align them to God and his plans for your life. Joseph was restrained. When Potiphar's wife tried to go after him, what did he do? He ran. He fled. He had already set boundaries. He was already keeping his thoughts, his feelings in line, and his words. And then finally his action said, I can't stay here, even though he was a young man that would have probably wanted sex like any other young man. And he could have justified that and said, well, God's fallen short. I'm not seeing my dream. I'm a long ways from home. Nobody's going to know about this, and I can give in, and it's all going to be okay. But he says, no, I'm not going to do that. You know what he did? He ran, because he believed that it was a whole lot better to leave his coat behind than his character behind. Which the next one is this. Forgotten, but not forgetting to be responsible in your duties. Joseph again and again was responsible with what God had given him. Wherever he was placed, he just simply took advantage of what was before him. Whatever his hands found to do, he did what? He did it with all of his might. And he says, I'm going to follow what God has given me. Keep doing with excellence what you've been given. Because while you are doing the things that you've been given, God will be doing the thing that he needs to do to bring to pass the dream in your life. Because what you find in this text as you go into chapter number 41, 2 full years later, the scripture says, 2 full years later. Everybody wants it now, right? How many wants it now? I want it now. We all want it now. No, nobody does not want it now. We all want it now. We want that person to step into our life that we can marry now. We want, you know, that education now. We want the money and the resource to do that now. We want those things, but 2 full years later. Now, these are 2 full years later after many, 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 many more years later before. So ultimately, it was at least 13 years of his life, from 17 to 30 years of age. Come on, millennials, that's where he's at. He is struggling, he is battling, he's wrestling. Is this going to come to pass? But 2 full years later, notice what happens. Verse number 8. So the next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dreams. So he called all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told him his dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. Finally, the king's cupbearer spoke up. Today, I have been reminded of my failure, he told Joseph. What was his failure? Does anybody remember? Joseph said, would you please remember me? Would you please show me favor? Would you simply do this? Why did he not do that? Somebody did him something good, and now he's going, because he responded just like all of us would respond potentially or be tempted to respond in a situation very similar. Here he is in prison. He was facing death days before. Now he's restored back into his position, and he's thinking, I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to create any waves. I'm just happy to be out of prison. I'm saving my backside, and I'm keeping my mouth shut. Why is he speaking up now? Yeah, I wrote this down. We forget what is not to our advantage to remember. And all of a sudden, it's to his advantage to remember what happened. Because now he has an opportunity to be the hero and to step in with Pharaoh. Which brings me to the thought in regards to Joseph. How did Joseph respond to these people when he went from being a prisoner to the prince of Egypt, second in command? How did he respond to the man who had forgotten about him? How did he respond to Potiphar's wife who had lied about him? How did he respond to Potiphar who threw him in jail? He is the man that is going to be in charge. We'll get to that in just a moment, but he is going to be the man. You know what he did? He chose to allow vengeance to be in the hands of God. He chose to let God do the fighting for him, and he chose to take a back seat and do the things that he had been given, not to do God's job. And so when people have lied about you, when people have forgotten you, don't hold bitterness against them, because all that's going to do is destroy you. But if you will just trust God and allow God, God will begin to fight the battles for you. And he can fight a battle a whole lot better than you can. So look at verse number 14. Verse number 14, it says, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Wow. Key to note. He went from the prison to the palace overnight. But one thing I notice about Joseph is that while he was in prison, he was not imprisoned. Let that sink in for just a moment. Because the real prison is not being locked into four walls with bars in front of them. The real prison is being trapped in our brain, in our mind, and not really being free. You see, because Joseph was not imprisoned by the desire to please others. You see, because that's one of them that we struggle with. We want to please others, the prison to please. His goal was to please God and God alone. Joseph was not imprisoned by his past. Now, he had a past that he probably had hurts and pains, but he said, you know what? I'm not going to be imprisoned by my past. I'm going to walk in knowing that God can take care of my past, and he can redeem that, in a matter of moments. He was not imprisoned by the pain that others had created in his life. And he wasn't holding on to the pain that others had brought in his life. He was forgiving that. He was walking from that. And Joseph understood this too. He understood that oftentimes that when you're in the present moment of pain, it can be actually where God's presence is the most real in our life. What is it you're going through? What deep pain and hurt do you have? God's presence can be more real there than any other place in your life. And also, he was not imprisoned by someone else's pasture. Well, let's bring it into the reality of where we are today. The grass always looks greener on Instagram. It does. But you know as well as I do, if you stop and really think about it, while it looks a whole lot green over there than where it is over here, the truth of the matter is it just means there's a whole lot more poo over there. Everybody has their own poo they got to deal with. Everybody has their own issues they got to deal with. Get your eyes off other people's pastures and onto what God is having to do for you. So Pharaoh shows up. Look at verse number 16 or 15. It says this. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night and no one could tell me what it means. But I've heard that you can hear about dreams and can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. This is so good to know that we must remind ourselves quite often. I want you to, if you don't take home anything else, take home this thought today, okay? You can't do it, but God can. Hear me? You can't do it, but God can. You can't do it. What is it that you're going to try to make happen tomorrow? What is it you're going to try to make happen, you know, with your parents, with your education, with your spouse? What is it you're going to try to make happen with your employers and people you work with? What is it that you feel like you've got to make happen and you're not releasing and trusting God? Remember this, you can't, but God can. You can't heal your body. You can't restore that marriage. You cannot give hope to your, you know, future and change your job situation all by yourself, but God can. In a moment's time, God can take you from the prison to the palace. He can change it all. So then what happens? Pharaoh shares the dream. Okay, the dream is simply this. There's a Nile River. Out of the Nile River came seven healthy, fat cows. And these cows were eaten and grazing. And then out of the river come seven more very skinny, gaunt cows. And these skinny, gaunt cows eat the, which is kind of gross, eat the big, healthy cows. But yet the skinny, gaunt cows stay skinny and gaunt. They don't change. They don't get healthy. He says, what does it mean? And Joseph explains to him that the seven represents 7 years, that there's going to be 7 years of feasting where it's just going to be an abundance, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And but he doesn't stop there. He says, he goes ahead and gives him a plan of action. He says, you need to prepare for this. And here's how you prepare. You need to find somebody who is wise, who is intelligent, who can build up storage facilities all over the country of Egypt. And then you need to expect every single farmer, every single person to give a fifth of their crops during that time frame of 7 years to Pharaoh. And then you're going to store it up. So you have this abundance over 7 years. And then at the end of the 7 years, there's going to be this deep famine that's going to be more devastating than any famine Egypt's ever seen. But during that time, now you will have a plan and people can come back and buy back those things that they stored up over the years and then they can enjoy. And it's amazing to me that fifth that he establishes there is still the same formula that's used for farmers that are sharecroppers 3,500 years later. Oh, get this. My dad is a farmer. You know what he does? A fifth of the crop goes to the landowner, and he gets to keep the rest. That's what it goes. 3,500 years later, Joseph is the one who established that. That blows me away. Now, he lays it out there, and he tells him what to do. But interesting to me is this, is that Joseph was not promoting himself. Come on, I would have been there saying, hey, you need to find somebody wise, like the person who interpreted your dream. You need to find somebody intelligent like me. I would have had neon signs just pointing, boom, boom, boom. Look at me, look at me. I'm the one. Appoint me as the person. But he didn't. He didn't promote himself, and he had a plan. How many of you employers would love to have employees that they are not about promoting themselves, and when they come with a plan to the solution for the problem, not always a problem? Now, how many of you would like to be that type of employee that says, I'm not going to promote myself, I'm going to let God do that, but I'm going to help my employer with the best plan possible to help them succeed and move forward? Because if you take that advantage, if you take that plan in life, God will use that to turn around and bless you and promote you. He will do it. Now, let's continue on. Look at this response. Verse number 37. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man? So obviously filled with the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of these dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a higher rank than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of what? Isn't that good to know? Oh, get this down in your spirit. Your situation doesn't have the last word when you trust God. Did you get that? Your dreams will take detours, but God will eventually get you to your destiny. But remember this, God often takes not the shortest, not the straightest line to your destination, but you just keep trusting Him with a dream. Several years back, I was in Disney World with the kids. Shannon and I were there. Kids were young. One of the things that I found out, middle of August, extremely humid. Humidity is high and hot. At one point, for a large part of the day, I had my son Gavin on my back. I had one of my daughters on my shoulders, and another one of my daughters I was carrying. That was a hard day. My daughter, I noticed, would be uneasy on my shoulders. Matter of fact, my daughters would quite often ride on my shoulders. And here's a picture of my youngest, Annabeth, riding on my shoulders. And when my girls would ride on my shoulders, oftentimes they acted like they were nervous about being up there. And they would grab hold and hang on to anything that they possibly could. Sometimes they'd hang on to my ears, which was not fun. They'd put their arms underneath my, and I'd feel like I was choking. They'd grab my hair. They'd grab whatever. The truth of the matter is they weren't going anywhere. All it took was I'd keep one hand on one ankle. They weren't going anywhere. They just had to learn to trust me that I've got this. You see, when it comes to your dreams in life, you will feel like you're on the top of your Heavenly Father's shoulders. It will feel somewhat uncertain. It will feel like you're wobbling at times. It will feel like you could possibly fall, and it will look like a long ways down. But He has you in His grip, and He's not letting go of you. He's got you. You got it? He's got you. Father, I pray right now by the power of your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do your thing, Lord. Do your thing in this place right now. Have your way right now, God. Some listening right now, maybe at one of our locations or here, you need Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. This is not giving Him a little piece of you. This is giving all of you. This is you dying to yourself and being surrendered to God and saying, God, I surrender all to you. Every part of me I give to you. This is not using God. This is being used of God and saying, God, I die to myself and desires, knowing that you died for my sins. And I confess my sins to you and ask you to come into my heart. Do that right now, right now, right now where you are. For the rest of us right now, there's dreams that maybe are still, you feel like are dangling in front of you. You don't know if you're ever going to reach them. Don't give up on the dream God's placed inside of you. I'm talking about the God dream. Chase it, run after it. Don't forget, you may feel forgotten, but you are not forgetting what God has placed there. Father, I pray now by the power of your Holy Spirit to do your thing, set people free, do transformation, do a work like only you can do in Christ's name today. And God, dreams are going to come to pass. In your name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the North Church Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and empowered by the Word of God. For more information about North Church, check out our website at north.church. There you can view more messages and join us for experiences live online. You can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great week, and remember to love God, love people, and follow Jesus.